Good morning. Today is Wednesday, December the 5th. Joining us this morning, Humboldt County Tooth Supervisor, Estelle Fennell.
Tooth.
The tooth, yes.
Good morning, Brian. Good
morning. Even though Thanksgiving is over.
Yes.
What's the favorite part of your Thanksgiving meal?
The favorite part?
The eating part.
I think
you're gritting your teeth.
It might be the stuffing.
About?
It might be the stuffing, but I think dessert is probably my favorite, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah, stuffing and mashed potatoes.
Yeah. Oh, I love mashed potatoes. Actually, I like the green beans, too.
Do you?
I like it all.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of like one of those,
Yeah. And then the walk afterwards.
Waddle. Yeah. Stagger around a little bit. Yeah. All right. Why do they say that? Brass tacks. Where do we get the expression, getting down to brass tacks?
Oh, man. I have no idea.
From early English drapers' shops, the linen draper placed brass tacks along the inner edge of his counter and used them to measure off the material his customers wished to buy.
Oh.
When a woman finished looking over his stock and got down to stating the amount of the cloth she wished to buy, she was getting down to brass tacks.
Oh, man. You know, Brian, I wonder sometimes about did somebody just make those up?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, Old English. I think of the Middle Ages.
Yeah, right. No, it's probably. Yeah. I'm sure it's true. Also, I did want to say one other thing about Thanksgiving. Company. Love, you know.
Well, sure, the social part.
Yeah, love that part. Yeah.
It's.
But the food does kind of win out.
Yeah. I think I might have discovered another one. It was a peach cranberry cobbler.
Mm.
I got a monkey with it a little bit because I'm thinking, well, if it's good for the peach, and I don't like it.
If it's good for the peach, it's good for the cranberry.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a goose.
You know
the
mixed fruit cocktail stuff, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't like that particularly. But you drain off most of the liquid. So I'm thinking instead of the peaches, do that, throw in cranberry and maybe a little bit of coconut. And let's see what might end up with it. So it's the base worked. Mm-hmm. Now I got to customize it. Yes.
Sounds wonderful.
Boy. Yeah, yeah. So survive the election.
Yes.
And I think survival mode is probably what we should kind of consider it as.
Mm-hmm.
With the folks and the blowback, I guess is a fair term that you've got from some of the legalized and then the non-legalized and those that didn't do and those that thought that it wasn't going to be so much, all that kind of stuff. Now that we're 12 months into the permitting.
Yes.
Would surprised be the term that you could use kind of to encapsulate the reactions with one word?
You know.
From the grower's perspective.
Yeah. I think that's actually a good word. There's, of course, nothing could have been predicted. This was all new territory, right? And so just getting as time goes on, getting feedback from this side, that side, and the other side, there really is so much to deal with that was not easily predictable. You could say, generally speaking, it was going to be difficult, but you couldn't say what exactly was going to be the most difficult part of it.
So you think difficult might be the word rather than surprised?
Yeah, maybe that is it, actually. I actually think that is it, yeah. And you know, but surprise factors in there. There are some people, speaking of surprise, thank you for bringing that up, actually. There are people that I'm surprised were surprised, if you can put it that way, okay? People that I would have thought would kind of understand where things were going to go with the state and the legislature and then the voters legalizing cannabis, I would have thought they had a better idea of what that was going to look like, and they didn't.
Like budgeting?
Yeah.
I mean, some of that preliminary
preparing,
work?
Yeah. Understanding that this was going to be a big shift in the economy for them specifically. And so now we have to kind of help people through understanding that there is a path if you want to take it.
Is there
a difficult one?
Is there still one?
Yes, there is. Right now, until the end of this year, people who have that particular priority, which is that they existed by the end of 2016, they have a chance to still come in under what we call 2.0, which is basically the more advanced stage of ordinance. They can still come in and say, yes, I've done this, and I'd like to do it legally.
So these aren't the 100%. Folks that filled out the permits but didn't return them. These are the ones that didn't start the process.
Exactly. So, and I think people who filled out permits and didn't return them might have a second chance, so to speak, if they wanted to. But this is the window is quickly closing, and then by next year, 2019, even if you existed by 2016, you would only have about a half of what you'd be allowed. So the window is definitely closing. And we did put a cap on the amount of permits that we would issue at the county level, and we haven't reached that cap at all.
Do you recall what it is?
Yeah, 3,500. Yeah.
And that's not number of acres in production,
that's just number of permits. Yeah. So that's not, we haven't reached that. And, you know, I think we probably will, but it will look very different than it did a year and a half ago.
Was it the phrase? The bromide? Let's use a fancy word, huh?
Yeah.
Food related. Nothing's as certain as change.
That is for sure.
All right. Okay, bromide's out of the way. Now we get the commercial. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:19.
It's sounding like Christmas all over Easy Radio 980 AM and Curry 105.3 FM. It's all your favorite Christmas music all the time. Christmas music is yours 24 hours a day on 980 AM and Curry 105.3 FM. Bing, The Carpenters, America, and more contemporary singers like Dolly Parton, Kenny Rogers, Michael Bublé, and others. It's our kind of Christmas music on Easy Radio 980 AM and Curry 105.3 FM, the Christmas station. Tell your friends.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Estelle. Estelle, the concept of the 3,500 permits, mm-hmm. I guess for those of us outside or not paying attention, it sounds very comparable to the liquor licenses.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's a limit. And I'm not that familiar with liquor licenses. If somebody had a ballroom, my belief is that that's one liquor license.
Mm-hmm.
If they had a two-stall bar, that's a liquor license.
Mm-hmm.
So it just an is. But I would think with the marijuana, because it is a spatial component to it, that there would be X number of acres. And whether that was 10 permits
mm-hmm.
or 10,000 permits, we only want to have X percent of Humboldt County ag land designated for this.
Yeah.
End of story. So why go with the number of permits rather than the footprint or the impact?
Well, I think we're trying to recognize that Humboldt County has been involved for decades in what is now a new industry. And so what we're trying to do is give the opportunity to as many people as possible to come in to the legal fold, so to speak. The majority of those permits are going to be smaller permits. So the concept of limiting the number of permits is to limit the cumulative impact. A lot of them were going to be in the neighborhood of 10,000 square feet or less. And then that's generally where a bunch of people have landed. And then the next bunch would probably be around an acre. There are very, very few that are larger than an acre.
So the plantations haven't really occurred yet.
No. And I don't know that that's the Humboldt model. I think you're going to see that a lot more in other counties. And as a member of the CCA, I know that some of the counties that hadn't considered making it legal are now doing so. During the last election, a number of counties passed tax initiatives. So that just shows you that it's kind of becoming more normalized.
What do you think would happen if that space out by Metropolitan, just north of Rio Del, was all converted over into a pot farm? So it's visible.
Yeah.
It's you smell it. It's there. It's not hidden at all. There's no neighbors to complain, but it's there.
Yeah.
Do you think that the community reaction would be any different?
I don't know, Brian. I really don't know. I don't think that that would be possible, generally speaking. But let's say, for instance, Rio Del and the county were to go in that direction. It's interesting that the odor issue is huge in residential neighborhoods. There's no doubt about it. And that's why we've taken steps in the second iteration of the ordinance to allow for extra restrictions. In fact, require conditional use permits that put in a condition of odor mitigation. So as you might or might not be aware, there was one case that was appealed to the Board of Supervisors that actually did pass. I didn't support it, but that was because of neighborhood pushback. I wanted to respect the concerns of the neighborhood. But generally speaking, odor is a very big factor. Now, what the producers are saying is if they can be indoors or in a very, very highly technical greenhouse, they can control the odors. If it's outdoor,
filter it, so to speak.
Yeah, filter. They filter. Very, 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 very sophisticated filter. And you can change those filters out more frequently than is required if you really want to help the neighbors.
So there's some stuff you can do.
There are definitely things you can do. But if it's outdoor, like you said, you know, fields, then, yeah, that'll be outdoor. There'll be one time a year where you will be, that smell will be wafting. I get it very frequently going south, passing through Wiat for some reason. There's definitely some odoriferous cultivation happening in that general area. And so, yeah, I mean, will people become used to it like they do to other agricultural products? I don't know. But if it would be just passing, driving by, that you get it, I suppose you have to live with it. But I don't know if that's
so you're saying suck it up, don't worry about it
right
now.
Well, I don't know. We'll just see how it goes. I remember talking with someone.
But you can't go back and undo that then, can you? Once it's in place and it's a conforming application or conforming use and you've got this and now all of a sudden we say, on the other hand, never mind, we don't want that.
Yeah.
Well, now you've got restraint of trade, you got other things that are rearing its head.
Well, we recognize that in residential areas where people actually have to live next to that we want to put extra conditions on. When you're out in the agricultural lands, that's a whole different ball of wax. I mean, that could be a pig farm. It could be, you know, any kind of thing that creates an odor that a lot of people don't like. I have a feeling.
Tough to complain about cows.
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 A lot of people complain about the smell of manure.
What are you going to do? Diaper them? Come on. It seems a little
Well, goofy. It's really interesting. My sister was looking for a new house. This was years ago, and this was in Ireland, right? She married a farmer. Farmer grew up with cows around him all the time, right? So we went out to look at this one house that she was looking at, and I went by there, and I went, oh, my goodness, there's like a really strong odor from the neighbor. And she goes, oh, that's no problem. My husband says that's the smell of money.
Smell you well, that's what we used to talk about with the paper mills, too, right?
Yeah, right. So, you know, agriculture tends to be smelly.
Yeah, and I suppose as long as it's not in the neighborhoods.
so long as it's not in the neighborhoods.
Not too many pet cows in the neighborhood.
No.
I hope.
Or pigs.
Yeah. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time, is 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Estelle Fennell, Humboldt County 2nd District Supervisor.
Tooth?
Yes, the tooth. Talk shop.
Did you pick that up at Thanksgiving?
Bob Wells.
Oh, okay.
When Bobby was with us, it was always the tooth of blank, whatever the month was. So two became tooth.
CDH
Painting, American Ag Credit, Redec, and Murphy's Markets present this silliness. This morning. Estelle, the county has entertained, I don't know where it is in the process, about allowing out in Ronerville, in the traditional sphere of influence, marijuana manufacturing. Okay. Fortuna, as I think everybody's pretty much aware, has driven a stake and said, not in our town.
Yep.
Okay. The sphere of influence. Who has the priority? Is it the city whose sphere of influence goes in the county, or the county whose sphere of influence butts up against the city?
Yeah. Well, okay, so sphere of influence is a technical term, and it really is applied to the cities. So sphere of influence basically means this is the area that the city eventually envisions through planning process expanding and annexing ground. But it's not yet there. The city has to actually go through the annexation process to have, obviously, a lot more influence. Sphere of influence does allow the city to, for instance, extend services such as sewer, water, that kind of thing. But generally speaking, it's still within the county. The taxes still go to the county, et cetera, et cetera. So once the city wants to expand out into an area like that, they have to take into consideration that they will be then liable for providing all of the services they do to the rest of the city. And so it's kind of like an in-between place. So it's not county sphere, it is actually the county. And as long as the city doesn't annex it, it remains that way.
There is a gray zone, right?
They're in a gray zone. And what we wanted to do was we wanted to recognize that this is an area that is butts right up to the city. And in even in areas with when we did our 2.0 on the cannabis thing, we even recognized areas that are not in the sphere of influence, and we called out anything that is outside the city limits to 1,000 feet. So that would be areas where the city is already built out to its, as far as it wants to go. Say, for instance, Ferndale. Its sphere of influence is basically mirrors its city limits. They don't have anything outside. We just did their municipal service review at LAFCO, and they don't have any areas that they intend to annex. So in their case, if they did have an issue with a cannabis cultivation or manufacturing area, they would probably just deal with the 1,000 feet outside.
So as you're looking at some of the different aspects mm-hmm. of that, I guess a lot of us would perceive that the county would recognize and not capitulate, but accommodate the cities.
Yes.
I mean, you can look out where our studios are located. Mm-hmm. We're in the county.
Yeah.
We're a quarter mile outside of the city. Okay, if the county had permitted whatever, it's still functionally Eureka.
Yeah.
Ronerville's functionally Fortuna.
Right.
So when it gets to brass tacks, what goes on? Who's got the bigger muscle? County?
Well, yeah, I guess so. I mean, you know, the thing of it is that my model, anyhow, is working together. I mean, I just think that we really do need to do that. That's why I work, you know, with City of Fortuna, with Rio Del, with all of the communities in the area. We do need to do that. We need to recognize it. But there are certain rights that people who are property owners in those areas have by virtue of the fact that they live in the county.
The technical jurisdiction.
The technical jurisdiction. And there's another interesting aspect of that where, say, for instance, I mentioned Ferndale. Ferndale's in the Coastal Commission jurisdiction. So when it comes to cannabis, they're not even at that stage yet. They haven't signed off. The Coastal Commission hasn't signed off. So that's still in the works throughout California. But let's say you have situations that we've run up into. We just have to work together, and we have to recognize people's property rights as well. But going back to Fortuna, there's one area, or there are several areas of Fortuna that were ripe for annexation. But the residents didn't really want it. And residents can object to annexation if they think it's going to be higher cost to them. Let's say, for instance, they're on their own septic system. They've got their own water supply. They don't want to be folded in. They can actually object. So it's everybody's empowered. And then and that actually is a kind of a cool thing to point out. When everybody's empowered, then everybody's got a seat at the table when the decisions are made.
So with the development around the airport, are you happy with how it turned out? Or maybe not happy. How about satisfied how it turned
it's
out?
It's okay. Let's put it that way. I mean, you know.
Hey, you know what that means? You had arrows in your front and your back. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Now, with Rio Del and some of the stuff that's going on there, are you expecting to get arrows from both sides, or are you just taking them in the back right now?
Well, Rio Del is an interesting situation. We have a private, if you will, development there with Danco. They're putting in some housing, which will be available for low income and people on Medi-Cal, and some of the neighbors are objecting to that. But by state law, they actually have a right to go ahead and do it. So Danco's been working with the community. The city has been working with the community. They've had a number of public meetings about that endeavor. The county got kind of involved in it at the beginning because there was a suggestion that we would put the county library in that building. But since then, we've withdrawn that, and we're working with the city on putting the library somewhere else. The reason we're even talking about the library is the ADA compliance issues, the Americans with Disability Act. We're in a consent decree with the federal government, and we have to upgrade all of the county facilities, and the library is one. Our library in Rio Del was located in the fire hall. It would have taken $127,000 or more to upgrade that. And since it was owned by the fire department, they didn't want to do that, and it was going to not be very cost effective. So we're working with the city on locating a library somewhere else. And just recently, speaking of going back to the cannabis excise tax, we did get some extra money, and we allocated $400,000 to that facility in Rio Del. So hopefully that'll move forward. But as far as the Danco project, that's something that Danco and the city are going to have to work out with the residents. I have had people say, why can't we move it closer to the freeway where maybe it could be easier to secure it. But I don't know. It's really up to Danko and the city to work that out.
KINS News and Information Time is 8:44.
Hey, Humboldt County. The folks at Fly Humboldt want to say thank you for all your support. The new Los Angeles flight is a great success. The planes have been full, so book now for your holiday travel. Don't miss getting a flight home for the holidays. And just in case you haven't heard, we'll have direct flights to Denver starting June 7th. You'll only be a couple hours away from the Mile High City whenever you want to go. This makes connecting to the world even easier. Get more information at flyhumboldt.org or email us at info@flyhumboldt.org. Happy holidays.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:48. We're back talking shop with Estelle. Riodel, the concept of having development in any community is embraced by some and is held at arm's length by others.
Mm-hmm.
Is
nicely
that
put.
Roughly what this is?
That is. I think some people have concerns about just who would be living in that Danko project. But the thing that to take into consideration, and I said this earlier about the other issue, is you have your rights as a community. You could, form an advisory committee, work with Danko, work with the county. The county will be putting people in there, but you don't have to have it become an unsafe. It could actually be a boon to the community if the community were to work together. So I think that's what I would like to see anyhow, is first of all, people need to be aware of just who will be living there, under what circumstances, and what kind of security there will be.
So but it's also not necessarily going to be the homeless village concept.
No, not at all. This would be more like people who are possibly, first of all, people who qualify in terms of low income, also people who qualify in terms of Medi-Cal, maybe somebody who's elderly, maybe who's somebody who's disabled. Those kind of things. So I think that
single parent,
those kind of things. Honestly, it sounds as if it will be very well designed. It's a nice architectural rendering of what it looks like. It might be a boon. It would be also an advantage for some people who qualify in Riodel. There's 47% who actually qualify under those rules to live there.
Well, we'll see how that one plays out too.
Great.
Happy Thanksgiving past and happy. Well, we may see you before Christmas.
Yeah,
I won't do that one quite yet.
Yeah, right.
All righty. See everybody tomorrow.